We simply cannot allow people to pour into the United States undetected, undocumented, unchecked.
And complete the dang fence.
This bill that we will sign today is not a revolutionary bill.
Cast down your bucket where you are.
We come from France.
And I am, adamantly against illegal immigrants.
They're coming in by the thousands. Just unbelievable.
A wall is an immorality.
Who are you rooting for?
Those masters of the universe are at it again.
You maniac! You blew it up!
Welcome to Parsing Immigration Policy. This is Mark Krikorian, Executive Director of the Center. And we have today a report, live report from the border, although it's actually on the Mexican side of the border. Todd Benzman, our National Security Fellow, who frequently goes down to the border, is, while we're recording this, he is in Juarez. We're talking to him from Juarez, Mexico, which is opposite El Paso on the Mexican side. By the time you listen to this, he'll have already returned, but he's in Juarez now. And there's a lot going on there. As you may remember, that there was that sort of mini riot where dozens of illegal immigrants assaulted Texas National Guard troops and pushed their way past them to get to the Border Patrol, knowing that under Joe Biden, the Border Patrol is their ticket into the United States rather than the opposite, which is what it's supposed to be for. And Todd's observed a lot of interesting stuff down there, and I thought it would be worth talking to him directly. So, Todd, thanks for coming on the show. Hope you're keeping safe down in Juarez. And what are you seeing down there?
Well, right now, the state of Texas, across from the east side of Juarez, is in the midst of what can only be described as a fencing boom. They are building just unbelievable infrastructure for miles and miles of concertina wire. We've all seen that. Mm-hmm. I just was quite taken aback by the extent of it here. And I think it really kind of got underway in earnest when the bonsai charges began, with migrants on this side kind of bunching up and then, charging Texas troops and, getting through to the green uniform guys behind them so they could be processed in.
Meaning the Border Patrol.
The Border Patrol, right. Yep. The immigrants over here just know them as the green uniformed federales.
Interesting.
Kind of the green angels, I guess, that let them in versus the tan uniformed Texans that endeavor to keep them trapped down in the river channel.
Mm-hmm.
So this infrastructure, we've seen this, in lots of other places in Texas, but it was not as built up as it is in other places here. So that's one thing. And the Texans are taking new tactics to keep them trapped down in that river basin, the river channel, which is that there have been a number of other charges that have happened here in recent days.
You mean migrants charging the Texas law enforcement?
Yes. There've been a few more of those. And now Texas apparently is firing pepper balls at them, which are these kind of toxic, kind of like tear gas. When they hit around the ground, they kind of puff up and create a cloud of toxic gas. And so they've dispersed the groups that way. Much more aggressive. Those guys have gotten no publicity at all. There was nobody here anymore to capture those scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have a standoff with lots of Venezuelans and Colombians, Hondurans, Central Americans, Ecuadorans that are just kind of trying to gather into the river channel. And they'll camp there all night, and they just are traversing constantly back and forth all along this fence line that goes for miles.
So sometimes when if they're camping overnight, they're on the U.S. side of the border already. They're just on the Mexican side of the fence, basically.
Technically, they are on the U.S. side.
Right.
But there are very few Border Patrol getting in the mix of Texans. They seem to be staying further back, maybe behind the Trump wall that is here.
Interesting.
But they are cutting the wire. they are finding ways over it. And so every once in a while, you can find pretty decent sized groups that are lined up at the big wall gates that are being processed in like always.
Right.
My translator that I'm with down here got a video of a group of them using wire clippers at 2 a.m. just clipping and steadily cutting right through because they know all they have to do is just cut through this wire and make it to that wall, and the Texans can't do anything about it.
In other words, the Border Patrol is a magnet for this illegal immigration.
A powerful one. That's why they keep coming.
Right.
And you ask them, why are you willing to just camp out down here and walk around and these Texans won't let you through? Because they say that, you know, usually they'll invoke God, that, you know, at some point God is going to let us in. And they're usually right. God lets them in at some point in this process. But then there's this new wrinkle that kind of showed up while I was here, which is that suddenly the Mexicans in this sector launched a massive operation to round them up off of this river channel and to start deporting them down 1,500 miles down to Tapachula. This is the Immigration and Naturalization Service for Mexico, basically, you know, the INM.
Right.
They have turned out in force throughout Chihuahua State, actually. And it's having a very impactful, visible sort of result, which is to force many of these immigrants that were camping in there in the first few days that I was here to sort of hide and run and be constantly on alert and maybe not even to come until really, really late at night when it seems like the Mexican immigration goes home.
Interesting.
For the night. So there is some sort of an operation that I think is helping the Texans keep more of them out because there are few of them gathering right now as of this point.
Now, this Mexican effort, can you get any sense of whether that was in response to the political problems created by that riot at the border that was captured by Jenny Terre, the New York Post, on video?
Well, I'm getting different information from different people. You know, I did drive to a number of villages south of Juarez, saw these operations at roadblocks and in small towns, just hundreds of immigration officers. Clearly, they're coming from all over Mexico because when you run across, when you see them, they're in huge buses.
Interesting.
And they're being brought out, trucked out to all over Chihuahua State, to roadblocks, to towns. And then they're just fanning out in these mini buses. Some of them say that this really just started 3 days ago, which would be 3 or 4 days ago, which would be, you know, very shortly after the bonsai charges.
Right. Interesting.
And others said that it's been going on for about 1 month. So I think that maybe they started planning it a while ago. They have had this going on since about Christmas in other areas of northern Mexico across from the Texans. They were doing some of it in Juarez, but not as much as in other places.
Right.
And then when Juarez began to kick up, it seems like maybe the Mexicans decided, well, we'll expand our operations over there. And remember, this is all part of this deal with Biden.
Right.
We saw the Mexican president say, you know, give me $20 billion and this is what I can do for you. If you don't give me the $20 billion, maybe I'll stop doing this for you. And it looks terrible for your election campaign, images like that. And we'll put Trump in office if you don't give us the 20.
Although the interesting thing is this was a 60 Minutes interview that the Mexican president gave, you know, where he was asked, you know, so what happens if you don't get, you know, your demands? And he said, well, the migration will continue. It really was a kind of extortion demand. On the other hand, it's also in Mexico's interest that Biden get reelected. And so it seems to me that the Biden White House has some negotiating leverage here, because while the Mexicans can say, look, you know, do what we want, or, you know, it's a nice administration you got there. Shame if anything happened to it. On the other hand, if Trump gets in, Mexicans may not be all that wild about that result either, frankly.
Yeah, I mean, but one footnote to that is that, you know, Obrador is out of office himself, and right. He's not the one who's going to have to contend with a Donald Trump. So he's being pretty selfless here for his successors.
Right.
And for anybody who might think that, well, there's a different interpretation to what he said, remember that the 60 Minutes interviewer followed up immediately with, well, this sounds like blackmail, what you're talking about here.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I just say what I think, yeah, and what I feel, and I'm unapologetic about it. Like, he didn't deny it at all.
Yeah, it's one of those things like, it. Well, blackmail is such an ugly word. You know?
Right, right.
Interesting. So you and I were elsewhere on the Texas-Mexico border a month or two ago in Eagle Pass and Del Rio on the Texas side. But on the Mexican side, there was the Mexican army seemed to be pretty involved in trying to disrupt the flow there. Have you seen any army presence around Juarez, or is it all their civilian immigration agents?
No, there's a healthy mix of National Guard here,
right,
which are the federal troops.
Right.
Not regular army like we saw in Piedras Negras across right. from Eagle Pass. And we interviewed those officers and troops when we were over there. Here, Mexican immigration agents are not armed. They don't have a whole lot of clout when they say to an immigrant, get in the van.
Interesting.
Because what I'm seeing often is the immigrants just say, no, I'm not getting in the van. And then they're just like, there's this sort of pregnant, embarrassing pause and nothing happens.
Presumably they've been coached by the smugglers, you know, who know what to tell them what they can do and what they can't get away with.
An example of that is, you know, I was in the riverbank, in the river channel across from all the Texas wire,
mm-hmm.
and Mexican immigration guys went there without the troops. They drove down in a big hurry. They leaped out and everybody scattered. A bunch of immigrants went running and they caught up with this one woman and her husband.
Mm-hmm.
Who had decided to sink themselves into the middle of a puddle of water.
Okay.
That was kind of the river. And they just said, you can't get me. I am on American soil. And the immigration officers just surrounded them and said, come out. We're taking you back to Tapachula.
Right.
And they just refused to leave. We're on American soil, which I think was kind of true. Anyway, the immigration officers eventually just all got back in the van and drove away and left them there.
Interesting. You said you had a kind of scary interaction with some cartel folks who thought that you were a smuggler who hadn't paid them. What happened there?
Right. That incident is going to be recounted in the Daily Mail dispatch that should go out today. It'll be out for a week by the time
right.
our listeners
and we'll
hear
have
this,
a link in the show notes to that.
Right, and that's because there's something very different happening on the west side of Juarez,
mm-hmm.
which is across from New Mexico. And remember, New Mexico's got a Democrat governor who keeps her state police well away from the border and not participating in any way.
Right.
Like with border security, they like this mass migration through their territory, so... Over there, you've grown a really substantial smuggling operation for immigrants that probably have criminal records and don't want to turn themselves in to Border Patrol. They want to run. It's going to be high octane criminality in this pool.
Right.
And over there, you've got an old wall. It's kind of the old mesh. It's like maybe 17 feet high, built, I think, around the Bush administration, W.
Right.
Maybe even H. I'm not even sure how far back this wall goes, but it's easy to cut big squares out of.
Right.
And then pass your guys through. That whole area is controlled by the La Linea cartel. They charge, I'm told, somewhere in the neighborhood of $4,000 or $5,000 a head to get through over there.
So just to be clear, the cartel doesn't do the smuggling. They sort of collect a toll, basically, from the people who are smuggling the illegals.
No, they actually do the smuggling.
Oh, really? Okay.
They'll arrange for them to pass through,
mm-hmm.
and then on the New Mexican side, the state of Mexico, they then will have their people pick up the immigrants and drive them into El Paso.
Interesting.
To safe houses, and there's this huge operation. There are hundreds of a night are going through this right over this wall and through this wall to get to the roads. And that is very, very lucrative for the cartels, for the cartel La Linea, which right. controls this area. And it's also an interesting place to go see it. You can actually see this if you're willing to go over there, which of course I was. But on one of my drive-bys on the wall, which goes right next to the highway there, stretch of highway for several miles.
This is a highway on the Mexican side, right?
Yes, on the Mexican side. It's 175 is the name of that highway. And you can see it on a map. It's just right next to the fence, mm-hmm. to the border. And there we spied five immigrants about to climb a handmade ladder that they'd somehow gotten up on the wall. And that we just pulled up right next to them, and they all hit the dirt initially, and they were going to abandon it. They didn't know who we were. And we just said, we're, you know, periodistas, you know, journalists. So they're like, oh, well, you know, in that case. And they started climbing.
Right.
And two of them got over, and we're videoing this thing, my translator and I, when all of a sudden two gunmen appear out of nowhere. I mean, they were in the desert behind us, beyond the road, and they just showed up and said, listen, you know, these guys didn't pay, and you have no right to bring them here. You're going to have to pay us. And of course, we're like, yeah, we didn't bring them here. They're not ours.
Right.
We're just periodistas.
Right.
And one of them had a pistol in his waistband, a silver pistol.
Right.
The other one was probably armed as well, but, you know, it wasn't brandished. And they said, you know, you stop filming. Don't film anything about what's going to happen next. And the last two guys were kind of already sort of up there, up pretty high up the wall. And we said, yeah, don't worry about it. Well, we won't film anything. And we just, you know, got in the car and just sped off and got away.
Right.
And that was sort of one of those, you know, kind of incidents that you always try to avoid.
For sure.
When you're out there, we didn't want to see what was happening. But the point is that, you know, those guys probably got away and didn't pay, but that there are these halcones, which are in English is falcons.
Right.
That we only noticed because of that, where they have lookouts spaced every few hundred yards along the entire length of that wall.
Mm-hmm.
One of whom we saw had binoculars, and they're just standing out there watching their territory and making sure that everybody pays and that the ones who paid actually got over. They do not have vehicles. They're in the middle of nowhere. They've clearly dropped off out there for their shifts. And then also along that wall at a different time, I found an American contractor welding one of the holes shut.
Right.
And I was able to get right over to the welder, and I spooked him a little bit. You know, I kind of came up on him suddenly, and he's in an area that would put anybody's kind of nerves on edge.
Sure.
But after he calmed down, he interviewed with me. I'm like, what are you doing here? And he says, well, there's two crews, and we put in a 8-hour shift a day all along this stretch, welding these holes shut.
Hmm.
And I said, well, how many do you do? And he goes, we do 10 to 12 holes every day.
Wow.
Along an 8 or 9 mile stretch. And I said, well, wouldn't you kind of work yourself out of a job after a while? And he just laughed and said, he says, no, because every morning when we show back up, all 12 holes are reopened.
Oh, geez.
And so it's this hamster wheel. It says, we never run out of work. We're constantly patching holes, and they're constantly cutting them. He says, you know, I'll be patching a hole here, and just a quarter mile down, they'll be cutting a new one. You know, and then we'll go over there and patch that one, and then they'll be cutting more all along while we're working during the shift. And that really tells me a lot about what's going on here, that it's just this nonstop, that the money that's being made for in runners is so lucrative that both sides are doing what they can to defeat each other to get these runners through. And on the other side, you have the New Mexicans. Pretty much it's wide open. We saw these guys climbing the ladder. As soon as they hit the ground, they just ran off into the desert. And there was no border patrol. Nobody's over there. There's no state troopers over there. But what is happening is when they do reach a road or a highway and get picked up, they go typically toward El Paso, which is Greg Abbott's territory.
Okay. Yeah, but they're past the border at that point, right? In other words, Texas isn't hardening its border with New Mexico, is it?
Well, yes and no. One is they can't block them there, obviously. However, they are doing a major operation. They call them swarm operations in response to this running epidemic, which entails catching the vehicles and the drivers of these vehicles. And when they do, they put them in jail and charge them with one of the new kind of enhanced violations of one of the new laws for smuggling, human smuggling. And it's really multi-layered. They have high-flying aircraft, low-flying aircraft for intelligence to catch wind of one of these guys coming. And then as soon as they do, they've got plainclothes officers and plain vehicles and troopers, and then they'll just absolutely swarm that vehicle. They'll put five in front, five in back, three or four on either side, and they can't go anywhere. And then they've got stash house search operations going on all over El Paso for this running, and it's a major operation. They call it swarm operations. So a lot going on over here, as you can see.
Interesting. So just one question. Why aren't the people like the give ups, the ones who are just looking to go to the Border Patrol, why wouldn't they be crossing in New Mexico? Is it that there just isn't that much Border Patrol, or is it basically free if they cross in El Paso, if they can somehow manage to get across?
That's a good question. The reason is because it's free on the east side and it's expensive on the west side. You have to go through the cartels on the west side.
Right.
Cartels are not interested in these give ups on the other side. They're really not involved over there at all. I'm
Interesting.
Not 100% okay. sure why that is, but they're not.
Huh. So it's the people who are paying the smugglers right at the border, the ones you talked about, the cartel people, those are the ones who don't want to get caught. So we're talking about people who have maybe been deported before, have some kind of criminal conviction, and who knows what else, frankly.
Right, because, you know, even this administration would deport these people if they caught them. You know,
maybe.
Hardened criminals and right. people with, you know, pedophiles and all sorts of violent crimes in their backgrounds and drug traffickers and that sort of thing. So they have to pay
right.
to get through, whereas most of the rest of them are probably just families. I mean, I see a lot of families and children over on the other side.
Interesting. Well, we're going to let you go. You are, you're in Juarez, which is a kind of a hairy place to be, quite honestly. And so when you come back, in other words, how long will you have been there once you leave?
Yeah, just about 5 days.
Okay, that's interesting. Good. So, yeah. And we'll be publishing some stuff, I'm assuming. You mentioned there's a Daily Mail piece, but we'll also be posting something, and anything that's published by the time we post this podcast, we'll have links in the show notes for them. So thank you, Todd, and keep safe, and talk to you from the next time you do one of these daring border trips.
Thanks for having me.
And finally, there was yet another indication this week that the administration may actually do something about the border, some kind of dramatic announcement. This has been floated over and over again. It's almost like the joke during the Trump administration about Infrastructure Week. They kept saying, this week is going to be Infrastructure Week, and they're going to talk about it, and apparently it never happened. Well, Border Control Week seems to be a theme that the Biden administration talks about but never actually does. So what happened is this week, President Biden himself actually gave an interview to the Spanish language network Univision, and he said that they were likely to announce some kind of dramatic measure to limit the number of so-called asylum seekers crossing the southern border. The president has always had this authority. We've made this point repeatedly. This is just to get kind of granular about it. It's Section 212F of the Immigration and Nationality Act says that the president can keep out any person or any class of persons whose admission would be detrimental to U.S. national interests. The president has always had this power. President Trump used it repeatedly. And the Supreme Court has upheld it and says, look, it's just in black and white. Congress has given the president this authority. The very fact that it's taken more than 3 years for this administration to use or even consider using this authority is a real indictment of its priorities, because obviously the concern on the part of the White House is not that millions, literally millions of illegal immigrants have come into the United States on the president's watch, an unprecedented flow. They've actually taken into custody and then let go into the United States something like 3.5 million illegal immigrants, on top of all the people who, the gotaways and the people who got across without being detected at all. And only now, when immigration is in polls coming to be the top issue for voters, and that it's the issue where the president is most underwater, as it were. In other words, approve and disapprove ratio is the worst on immigration, worse than inflation or jobs or any other kind of issue. Only now are they even considering doing something. They haven't acted yet. Maybe by the time you hear this, they will have announced something, though Axios, which is one of these DC-based news outlets, say that they've heard that it's likely to be by the end of April, assuming anything happens at all. But the fact that we're even talking about this now, more than 3 years into the most disastrous border situation the United States and probably any nation in history has ever faced, is appalling. And it's exclusively because of the political harm that the president is suffering. He's behind Donald Trump, whose marquee issue is immigration, not just in national polls, although it's, you know, it changes, but in almost every swing state where the election will be decided. And the administration had obvious opportunities to do this even this year. Earlier this year, the president visited the border, finally. They didn't want to do it, but they did it to sort of show that he was on top of the issue. There was no announcement of significant changes. And then shortly after that, there was the State of the Union address. Again, every camera in the country is trained on him. He had an opportunity to make a dramatic announcement about changing direction. Nothing. It was just the usual, it's all the Republicans' fault. And it really does, the very fact that they're talking about this does put the lie to their own contention that there's nothing they could do without Congress passing the laughable Lankford bill, which actually would have codified, fixed into law, the illegal practices that this administration is pursuing at the border. So I'll believe it when I see it. And if they do, in fact, crack down, obviously that's better than what they're doing now. But it is a true indictment of this administration's priorities that only 3+ years after taking office and creating this disaster are they even talking about doing anything about it. So we'll see what happens. We'll keep you up to date, obviously, if there is any significant announcement and if that announcement has any substance and has any effect. In the meantime, this is Mark Krikorian from CIS signing off for Parsing Immigration Policy. If you have any comments or complaints or suggestions for future shows, just email us at center@cis.org. And at any time, obviously, feel free to visit our website, cis.org.